Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding 2401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Private Officer Beat on this Thursday morning, September the 1st, 2016. That's right, we have already made it into the last quarter of 2016. Believe it or not, this is the beginning of fall. Well, I guess not really technically, maybe a couple of weeks down the road, but we are already in September, and you know what that means, don't you? September. We're in hurricane season, and in just a moment, we're going to give you some breaking weather, emergency weather news that is coming across the wires this morning, and we've got a lot of weather information to share with you here in just a moment. I'm your host for the Private Officer Beat, Rick McCann, and like always, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. First, let me just tell you that we're sponsored by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement association, and we've got a couple of other great sponsors as well. Custom Electronics is a great place to get all of your electrical supplies, as well as installation of equipment for your patrol cars. If you own a security company or law enforcement agency, you have needs for installations. They service, sell, and of course, they're top of the line. They service all of the Southeast. Custom Electronics, check them out online today. Give them a call. Our friends over there, Bill and Frank, will be happy to help you out. Also, our sponsors today is 1-800-TIME-CLOCKS. Now, we've told you about them for a while. They have been around the business for a long time. Back in the old days, they actually were selling those old time clocks that you would stamp your card and put your card up in the rack. Well, they are really moving in to the technical side of security. They now have a working model that is one of the best on the market that I've seen that can help track your security officer movements and document that they have made their patrols. Check them out today at 1-800-TIME-CLOCKS. And another sponsor for this program today, you're not going to want to do without their gear and equipment. They've got top of the line, Body Armor USA. We talk about them all the time. Our buddies there in New York will help you out. They have vests, which are top of the line for corrections, law enforcement, and private security, as well as gloves and other gear. Slash vest, if you're working in a correction facility, jail, you know how dangerous it can be to have bladed items and hidden any place. And so you're definitely going to want to check them out at bodyarmorusa.com. This morning, we're also going to welcome a friend of ours, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, a retired police lieutenant from Las Vegas, Nevada. 3 decades in law enforcement. He's also a author of 4 books. He hosts his own radio program, and he's just a great all-around cop, a great guy, very well respected. And we're going to be talking with him shortly about how we can really work together between security and law enforcement, how we can foster a better relationship. That's coming up in just a moment. We have some other breaking news that we definitely want to talk about this morning. A security officer killed in Houston. This is the third armored car security officer killed in the last 18 months. We'll be talking about that. And we'll be talking about a security officer also in Texas arrested for murder, how he foolishly got himself in trouble and is, I really don't know what his defense is going to be, as well as some other breaking news. And we're going to cap that off with some additional information about our memorial service and other items coming up here on the Private Officer Beat this morning. Again, we're here Thursday, September the 1st, and we're glad that you have joined us. But before we go any further, we do want to tell you about breaking news coming over the wires in the overnight hours. As you know, if you've listened to us before, you know that we have a full-time news staff, and we have gathered the latest data for some real problematic, real, how can I say this nicely, real scary weather that is predicted not only for one coast, but for all coasts of the U.S. during the Labor Day weekend. There are currently four tropical storm systems that now threaten the Atlantic, the Gulf, and the Pacific regions of the U.S. during the next 72 hours. And this is nothing to play with, nothing to just assume, there's nothing going to happen, it's not going to affect us. If you're anywhere along the coast of the Atlantic, the Gulf, or the Pacific, these storms are definitely going to affect you within the next 72 hours and could ruin, unfortunately, your Labor Day. But more importantly, it could really pose a serious danger to you and your family, your business, your community. So please stay alert. Right now, a hurricane is predicted to move into the Hawaii region of the Pacific Ocean during the holiday weekend. There's also a possibility of a second storm on the heels of the first. This is very dangerous and very unusual. In fact, from what we understand, this is the first time that a double whammy, a double hurricane, is possible for Hawaii since the 1940s. Hurricanes Madeline and Lester are expected to pass very close to the islands in a quick succession. And data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, otherwise called NOAA, does show that this is likely and that it hasn't happened since 1949, when reliable weather record keeping began in the Central Pacific, 1949. In the Gulf of Mexico, if you live along the Mississippi, Louisiana, maybe even as far west as Texas, definitely Florida, you are also in the eye of a storm. Right now, a tropical storm also is churning in the warm waters right off the Gulf there, Gulf of Mexico. This time of year is very predictable. Whenever a storm enters into the Gulf, the waters are so warm that the storm picks up speed, energy, and very quickly can spin into a hurricane, and that is what is predicted. Over the next 24 to 48 hours, this storm will increase in intensity into a Category 1 hurricane and head a little bit more northeast. Maybe away from the Texas, Louisiana panhandle and move into the eastern portion of the Gulf, hitting the west side of Florida. This will also bring with it heavy, heavy rains, winds that could easily spin into tornadoes along its path, and they are expecting definitely severe flooding along the western side of Florida. That would be from Tampa up into that little curve there where it comes around to Alabama. It could even affect places like Pensacola and Panama City along that area. This is something that we have to definitely keep an eye on because they are predicting that this will hit very strongly across that region of Florida and then move across that narrow path of Florida into the Atlantic and continue. It may move further out into the Atlantic and not really cause much more than rain for the Atlantic coast, but it could, as in times past, we've seen this time and time again, once it jumps over into the Atlantic from the Gulf Coast, it sometimes it just begins to strengthen again and goes right up the Atlantic coast, as what has happened a few years ago, where it, you know, the hurricane went right up the Atlantic coast as a tropical storm and flooded New York City. I'm sure you recall that. This is a possibility. It could go out into the Atlantic. It could head up straight along the eastern seaboard. So we are definitely watching that. All of this time, all of these storms happening, we already have another tropical storm that's already off the coast of North Carolina. It's already gusting at 60 miles an hour. It has been bringing some rain and winds along the Carolina coast for the last 24, 36 hours. It's expected also to intensify. They don't think that's going to turn into a hurricane, but it will definitely drop a lot of rain. It is a rainmaker. It's also bringing some heavy wind gusts across the Carolina coast. They predict that this will soon, within the next 48 hours, head back into the Atlantic, but it too could stay along the Atlantic coast. During this time, really, it's very hard to predict what a storm is going to do, because once it gets into the warmer water, once it gets into certain areas, it could intensify, it could dissipate, it could move into the Atlantic and be no problem at all. We really don't know. But we are watching, like I said, the Pacific, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Atlantic Ocean. It's very rare that we get three storm systems at the same time. Sometimes you'll see a storm system out in the Pacific that is away from land and not a threat, and it turns into a cyclone at the same time that we're dealing with something either in the Gulf or the Atlantic. But never do we really see, or very rarely do we see, three specific storms all spinning and all threatening landmass in different regions all at the same time. As the tropical weather systems continue to churn and head into the Atlantic, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Pacific, this is a hurricane season that is, you know, it's going to be very interesting. It was predicted to have three major hurricanes this year, and I can tell you that if history is any indicator, this could really turn into a weather event that even the forecasters just couldn't predict. So be alert, prepare, communicate the weather threat to your staff, and please, please make early preparations. Right now, we're all thinking about that long holiday weekend, maybe a 3 or 4 day weekend, but we really need to begin thinking about making preparations if we are along the Gulf of Mexico. Even if it's not going to hit us, even if you are on the western side of the storm, you could definitely get rain, you'll definitely get some wind, and possibly even some tornadoes. Flooding is going to be a big, big problem with this, all of the storm systems actually, but definitely the one in the Gulf and the Atlantic. So please begin making those preparations. I know we're looking forward toward the holiday weekend, but obviously this is really going to take some precedence over that, and we need to make sure that we are well prepared for what is heading our way. You are listening to the Private Officer Beat. No, we're not NOAA Radio. I know. It's probably sounding like we're, the Weather Channel or something, but we have a lot of members across all of these regions. We have a lot of members in Hawaii. We have a lot of members along the Gulf Coast between Texas and Florida. Actually, we have a lot of members every place in the country, but in these three regions that are under the gun right now for storm threat, we have a lot of members, and we want to make sure that we get that accurate information out to them. We want to make sure that we get the information that they need. A lot of people, unfortunately, do not pay attention to the weather. They do not listen to the news. That is just the way that it is. I don't know why. A lot of people are too busy. A lot of people have things going on, and they just can't be bothered. Well, this is the time of year when you have to be bothered. You have to pay attention to the weather. You have to be alert. You have to have a weather radio, because tornadoes, I can tell you this from experience, they can spin up in moments. Sometimes before even the National Weather can send out any type of alert, you have to be on guard for the weather systems during this time of year. Hurricanes and tornadoes cause a lot of damage. They take a lot of lives. They're nothing to play with and nothing to just assume it's not going to affect my area because they do change. And I mean, it could be heading one direction one moment, and it could easily, if it gets in the path of a, you know, certain air currents, it could easily change direction. So please pay attention, stay alert, get a weather box, listen to your radio, your TV, prepare.
Corporal Dion Washington with the Gwinnett County Police Department. Take gun safety and education seriously. You could save the life of your child or someone else's. A gun owner's most important responsibility is keeping it out of the wrong hands. Always keep guns stored, locked, and out of reach of children by using a locked cabinet, safe, or gun vault. Parents, don't tell kids they are too young to talk about gun safety. If they don't learn correctly from you, they may learn from their friends, television, and video games. As kids get older, revisit the gun safety conversation based on their level of maturity. Remember to make it real and relatable for them. And kids, remember, if you see a gun, stop. Don't touch it. Leave the area and immediately tell an adult.
Glad to have you with us on this Thursday morning, 17 minutes after the hour. We are broadcasting live from our studios in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we are looking to the east right now. We're looking to the eastern skies for the storms. Not one, but two storms actually expected to impact the Carolina coast, the Outer Banks, beautiful area. If you've never been, I strongly suggest that you make it a place that you visit, make it one of your must-dos on your list. Beautiful, beautiful place, very serene. Anyways, we are looking and we are staying on top of that weather situation, and we will bring you news. We will update you electronically, or if we're on the air, we'll update you here as well. We'll be back on the air tomorrow morning with an additional update, and you can also follow us on our social media, Facebook and Twitter. We will be broadcasting regularly during this storm event for the next 72 hours on our social media platforms. And, of course, be signed up for our breaking news alerts. In fact, we've sent out a breaking news alert about the weather situation this morning, first thing that our office personnel got in. We got that immediately broadcasted out. Sign up for our news alerts. As soon as we get breaking news of urgent nature, we always broadcast that out to our members as well as those who are signed up on our news alert list. So sign up today and get that information firsthand. We have a lot of things to talk about today. I want to kind of quickly go over a situation that happened in Houston, Texas. A death of a security officer that was killed, unfortunately, during a armed robbery of a Wells Fargo. He was, they're not really saying if he was filling up an ATM machine, if he was delivering or picking up cash from the bank, but unfortunately, the security officer was killed. This happened a couple of days ago. But the thing I really want to note here is that this is actually the third armored car security officer killed in Houston during the last 18 months, according to the FBI. The FBI says that it's unusual that this number of fatalities have occurred in one region or one area. But the fact is, security officer deaths are definitely on the rise. We're seeing that everywhere, and I think that we're going to see that even more as security officers continue to be on the front line. David Guzman, he was only 25, of Houston, died during that robbery, and it's unfortunate that you know, security officers on the front line are taking the brunt of the violence, but we're seeing that across the country. If you're working any type of security, whether it be armored car security, whether it be on patrol, apartment complex, and nightclub, it's really important that you do try to get a vest, afford somehow to buy that piece of equipment that's going to save your life. I know it's hard, especially with the wages of security personnel, but it is an important and vital part of your equipment that you definitely need. Another item here that we want to bring up is the arrest of a security officer. This also happened in Texas, and we read about this and told you about this months ago, actually. A security officer who was not working at a convenience store, he happened to go to the convenience store. He was on duty elsewhere in uniform and armed. He was going to a convenience store to get something to eat or drink, and he saw some people running out of the store, assumed it was a robbery, and began shooting at the car. He didn't know if these people were armed. He didn't know if a robbery had occurred. They were not a threat to him in any way, but he pulled his firearm and shot 11 rounds at the vehicle. He later told police that it was because he was trying to shoot out the tires. Well, this is not any training that I'm aware of. We certainly don't teach shoot out the tires or shoot at the car. There's no training I'm aware of that says it's okay for you to shoot the tires out or to shoot at a fleeing vehicle. If a vehicle is leaving the scene and fleeing away from you, you are not in imminent danger, and you have no right to use any level of force. But Michael Ray Turner, 67, unfortunately did, and the grand jury came back and indicted him yesterday on a charge of homicide. So now he's going to face a prison sentence in his last, you know, few years of life, and there was no reason for it. It made no sense at all. Shayla Sherelle Fletcher, 36, of Beaumont, Texas, died in that June 2nd incident, and, you know, they did steal some beer. It came down to the fact that it was a beer run, that they actually did steal some beer, but that's a misdemeanor. It's a crime that did not require him to be involved, and unfortunately, he did. Today, when we talk in a little bit here about interacting with law enforcement, that's one of the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about when and how to interact, when and how to call law enforcement, when and how to know that, you know, a situation is in progress or what the law says afoot. So we're going to talk to Lieutenant Randy Sutton coming up here in a moment, but I'll tell you what, we're seeing a lot of deadly force incidents. We sent out a news alert here a few days ago. There were over 40 or 50 incidents in just a few days involving shootings, security officers being involved in shootings, and I'll tell you, this is very dangerous for them, very dangerous for the public, and I don't see any slowdown. I see nothing that would indicate that this is going to stop anytime soon, but training. That's why we preach all the time that it's all about training, to get that extensive training well above what your company gives to you, because without it, you know, not only are you in danger, but the public around you are also in danger. I do want to remind you about the Private Officer Memorial Week. That is going to be September the 18th through the 24th of this year. It's always the third week of every September. We've been doing this now for 12 years. We're the only security organization that sponsors such an event. And on top of that, we also sponsor a memorial ride. It started out with the thought of maybe doing a cross-country bicycle ride, but unfortunately we're all out of shape and we just wouldn't make it even down the block. But so what we do is we sponsor memorial services at a number of locations throughout the country. If you would like to sponsor a memorial service, just contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we will be glad to do that for you. If you would like to be involved, you or your company, in donating or sponsoring or becoming part of our yearly memorial events, please contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Now, also, during this time of year, we also are looking for folks to donate to the Benevolent Fund so that we can assist those security personnel injured or killed in the line of duty. So please, please make an effort. Go to our website at privateofficer.com. Donate whatever you can. It really is going to a worthy cause.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over.
When you see lights,
masks,
or reflectors,
please give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please slow down
and move over.
It's perfect outside. It's like God let me dial up the weather. Got the whole crew here. I ain't seen some of them in forever. It's one of those never forget it, better stop and take it in kind of things.
How often do you text and drive? No, really, think about it. You're driving down the road and your phone buzzes, beeps, or hollers. Do you take a peek? If you answered yes, you're risking your life and the lives of others. A recent AT&T survey asked 1,200 teens about texting and driving, and the results were quite scary. 61% of teenagers who answered questions say they look at their phone while driving. 43% of them say they actually text while driving, and they know it's not safe. Because in that exact same survey, almost all of the teens said texting and driving is dangerous. And when they're sitting in a red light, more teens think it's okay to mess with their phones. 73% glance at their messages, while 60% of them send one. But that could be just as dangerous because did you know, thousands of crashes happen each year at intersections with traffic lights. And peer pressure could be to blame because 9 out of every 10 teens surveyed expect a reply within 5 minutes. And adults aren't helping, at least from the teenager's perspective, because 77% of teens said adults tell kids not to text and drive, yet do it themselves all the time. So what will make them stop? 89%.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Beat. This morning we're talking with Lieutenant Randy Sutton, a 30-year, three-decade veteran of law enforcement, police officer in Las Vegas, working with many, many security personnel from large casinos, hotels, along the strip, shopping malls, you name it. I mean, Las Vegas is just covered up with private security. And he's worked with many. So we asked him what he thought about how we could foster better relations with law enforcement. We have some other information that we're going to share with you about that as well. And let's listen into to what Randy has to say. Again, Randy is a retired law enforcement officer from Las Vegas, Nevada. He's an author of 4 books. He's also, by the way, starred in 3 movies. I don't know if he starred in. He had a part Sorry, Randy. He had a part in three movies, and where I really became familiar with him is a number of years ago when he also was in a number of segments of Cops. You may remember him from Cops. And he also is the spokesperson, national spokesperson for Blue Lives Matter. So let's talk to Randy Sutton.
The Private Officer B today, this morning, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Lieutenant Sutton is retired from the Las Vegas Police Department. He's also an author, a radio host, a spokesperson for a national organization, and now I don't know this for sure. I haven't seen it, but they tell me he's been an actor in a number of films, Casino, Fools Rush In, and a few others. And I first saw him, became aware of him a number of years ago, and I won't say an old segment, but a not-so-recent segment of Cops. Randy Sutton, welcome to the Private Officer Beat. Good to have you here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. And you can say it was an old episode. It's okay.
It's been a while ago, actually. The first couple of shows, you were still in patrol, and then you got promoted to sergeant. And I actually remember one of those segments where you were sent to a convenience store, a man with a possible weapon, a gun. He was in the car with a girl. He wouldn't comply. He thought it was a joke. You had him at gunpoint. I remember your words. You said, "This ain't no game, son." So, and you took him out of the car at gunpoint, and he had a gun. So it all worked out good for you. How you been?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Got lots of great things going on, and you mentioned a bunch of them, so it's all good.
You are definitely busy, and I don't think the word retirement fits you well.
Well, you know what? It's great to be retired from policing, but that gives me the opportunity and the option of really trying to make a greater difference, and that's what my goal is.
I think that law enforcement and emergency responders, first responders do that every day. They just don't get that recognition. And I followed your Facebook page for some time. I see where you're posting all the videos of cops doing what they do and people just not really realizing and like it's some new fashion that they've taken on, some new part of their duty or job. And it's really been going on for decades. Just people, citizens just don't realize what cops really do out there.
No, they don't, and that's part of what my mission is to kind of act as a translator, if you will, between the law enforcement community and the people that they serve. Because you're right, the people don't realize just how much good police officers do literally every single day, and so it's good to highlight a lot of the good things and at the same time reveal the negative portions as well.
Before I get too serious into conversation, I do have to ask this macho cop, this guy who people look up to, about the kittens. What's the deal with the kittens? Nobody in their right mind would think of Randy and kittens in that same phrase there. So what's up with that?
Well, I have always been an animal lover. I've had cats since I was a child, and for some reason they just seem to find me. And about a month ago, I was walking into my front door and I heard these little tiny meows. It was 106 degrees. I looked behind some bushes and there's 8 brand new newborn kittens being attended by their mother, who's a stray, a feral cat. Mm-hmm. And she saw me and took off running. So here are these 8 little babies, attached to the umbilical.
Let's ask, do you blame her? She saw you and took off running. Yeah,
that's exactly right. So now I've had to bring them in, and I couldn't let them. I mean, I had to take care of them. I read up on bottle feeding newborns, and here's a little trivia for you. Did you know you have to burp kittens after you feed them?
No, I did not know that.
So anyway, luckily I was able to catch the mom and reunite them, and they are happily ensconced beneath the bed in my spare room, happy and healthy.
Wow. So are you putting them up for adoption or going to hang on to them for a while?
Yeah, because I already have four. I already have four cats. I'm already considered the crazy cat man. So, yeah, I'm going to find them homes.
Well, see, I've heard of the cat woman, but the cat man, Mm-hmm. Well, that's very generous of you. I'm not a cat person, but if it had been a dog, now that would have been something different. But we want to talk a little bit today about fostering good relationships between private security and law enforcement. Just to give you a little backstory about Private Officer International, we founded it in 2004. We're a law enforcement and security association. We've built members across the country and in 30 countries now. We're the largest law enforcement and security association in the U.S. and probably the world, as far as we know, with thousands of members. We have our own full-time news department and media department. We are a clearinghouse for statistical data for federal government, for OSHA, Labor Department, Department of Justice, and a number of other agencies collecting data on security and private police officer injuries and deaths, lawsuits, and use of force incidents. So we've been talking for the last couple of years about the evolution of private security. And as you know, having worked in Vegas, where there are a ton of security personnel in hotels and casinos and just about every venue, there's a lot of interaction at some point between police and security. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not so good. And so we've been talking with law enforcement agencies and different groups and doing roundtables, trying to really go through the mechanics of how we can get a better relationship working. Sometimes it's communication, sometimes it's perception. Having worked in Vegas, I'm sure you've worked with security, right?
Oh, very, very often. This community would be severely depleted of resources if it was not for private security. The casinos basically handle almost everything internally through their own security apparatus and only contact the police when there is someone in custody or there is a crime that needs to be reported. Everything else is handled internally, which if that wasn't the case, we'd need to have another 1,000 cops because these hotel casinos are you know, like little cities unto themselves.
I've been there many times. I've stayed at Bellagio's and Bally's, and I've been on the Strip numerous times for conventions. And you're right. I mean, private security definitely outnumber law enforcement. They're not replacing them, but they're definitely the front line today and in many different types of venues. But what we're seeing is – go ahead, Randy.
No, I was just going to agree with you. It's not simply the hotels and the casinos that are that are utilizing the security. There's many, many other venues that also utilize security, especially in the construction sites that are ever increasing here. We actually recently had a very tragic set of circumstances where a unarmed security officer was murdered trying to protect a construction site. So there's a great deal of danger involved in any job that requires confronting possible suspects.
That is correct. We actually followed that. And did they ever make an arrest there?
I do not know. I don't know if they ever did make an arrest. I know it was a very tragic thing.
This may come as a shock to you, but having statistically kept the data for private security since 2004, our full-time department, 24 hours a day, records the numbers of assaults, injuries, and deaths of security. Last year, there were 86,428 assaults or injuries of security officers in the U.S., and there was 109 on-duty deaths. Now,
that's a huge amount.
It is. More tragic than that is 86% of those deaths were by gunfire. And
that's a startling statistic.
Well, with private security, I'm also a law enforcement officer. I have been for many years. With private security, you don't have training incidents. You don't have pursuits. You don't have some of the deaths on duty that law enforcement have because they just don't do those, you know, situations. So most of the incidents that occur are either detaining or investigating or interrupting. Last year.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're right.
It's just, you probably have heard just this week, there's been two armored car guards killed, shot to death during robberies. And there's been two other security officers shot in the last week. So four security officers have been killed in the last week.
I think you're right. I don't think that people understand the dangers.
It's obviously there. Security officers, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, basically guarded warehouses. When I got my start at the age of 17, you know, I was at an old factory with a uniform that was two sizes too big and, you know, just your average guard. But today, the levels of security have increased, especially since 9/11. Security is used at every possible business, government center. You have them at nuclear plants, and you have different levels of training and certification that comes with that. So more and more private security are really taking over some of the duties that you would expect law enforcement to do, but as you and I know, there's just not enough officers, law enforcement officers, to possibly be everywhere all the time.
Yeah, the job has definitely increased in complexity, and unfortunately, there is also, a lot of these companies put these security folks out there, and they're not equipped properly. They're not given communications equipment, and they're not armed. And quite honestly, I understand why, because of the, you know, the financial aspects of it. But I mean, the reality is that if you're gonna put someone in a position where they might have to intercede against a criminal, you should by all moral reasons give them the tools that they need in order to do it safely.
You're absolutely right. We have a legislative committee. We work with states to increase training and requirements. And what we've seen across the country is, as you know, private prisons have been around a long time. A lot of areas of law enforcement are actually being subcontracted. I'm sure you remember
Yes.
the court officer there in Las Vegas that was shot at the federal courthouse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Shot and killed. He was actually working for a contract agency, but he had a special U.S. Deputy Marshal commission at the courthouse.
Right. Yes, I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he a retired Las Vegas officer?
He was. He was indeed. Yep.
There's a lot of
There's a lot of the guys after they retire, they don't want to sit home. They want to continue to be active, In fact, many of the upper-ranking officials of law enforcement here wind up taking, the upper-level security jobs at the hotels and casinos.
I just wrote an article based on a study that was done earlier this year. You may have seen this, there is an 11% of upper executive law enforcement have left the job in the last 3 years for security high-level positions, not only for pay, but for security reasons and other, internal reasons. Most law enforcement, more than 50%, begin their law enforcement career in security and end it in security.
Well, it's funny you say that because I'm one of them. I didn't end it in security, but I certainly began it in two different security positions before I got hired as a police officer.
With security changing and with law enforcement changing, as you know, police departments are strained with personnel. They're not running as many academies as they used to. Their budgets have been cut. A lot of different communities have looked toward private security to patrol their streets, their housing developments. We're seeing more and more states actually giving private security law enforcement authority. And in fact, 30 states right now have some statutory language that allows private security to be deputized or commissioned as private police. And that's kind of the way that it's going for misdemeanor arrest. If an officer is called to the scene of a misdemeanor, most of the time, if they don't haven't witnessed it, there's not much they can do about it unless the person who was the victim wants to sign an affidavit or go to the magistrate, get a warrant, and follow that process. But with a security officer having somewhat of a limited arrest authority above a citizen's arrest on their property, now they can actually make the physical arrest, call local PD to transport. And that's kind of the direction that things are going into. Canada, the UK, and Australia has had that since the 1970s.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that this is kind of the progression of security. As we see more and more departments having to do much more with less manpower, less budget, less equipment. So that really comes to a situation where the security officers involved have to have much more higher level of training and certification. And what we're finding is that some police departments communicate well with private security and others almost feel like they're taking their jobs from them. And that's not the case at all. What is the climate like in Las Vegas and Nevada and the places that you travel to? Do you see good rapport between private security and law enforcement? Do you see issues that could come up in the future? What's your take on it?
Actually, the most of the interactions when I was still working, I saw pretty much very good working relations. Not only did the security handle most of the normal events that were taking place, but when there was a police response, there was a much higher degree of professionalism that some people would expect on the part of the security folks. Now, maybe that's because many of them are former law enforcement, or maybe it's just that they're paying a little better than they used to. Because, I mean, it used to be, I remember when I was working, even as an armed security officer, it was basically a minimum wage job and and with no protections whatsoever. So I think that, you know, if you're going to expect people to act with professionalism and to be able to hire, qualified folks, you got to pay them, you got to pay them something that's worthwhile. And not the minimum wage stuff, but I think that's probably, the economy and the economics of hiring folks is plays a huge role in the quality of the personnel that you get.
It does, just like with any position. What we're finding is that there are two different types of security. You have the proprietary; they work in house for one customer, one client, one employer, and then you have the contract that obviously they have multiple customers wherever they get hired, they go. In a situation where you have people working in-house for like the larger casinos and hotels, you get a better quality person because they are paying more. And a lot of the states now are really jumping on the bandwagon as far as training requirements and recruitment requirements. It's not like it was 20 years ago when they hired just about anyone who walked through the door. You still have that in some areas, but it is changing. And there are a number of states who have just added a lot of criteria for hiring and training. So it's a lot more stringent, and that really raises the pay level as well. So you're getting better qualified people. We're also having a lot of military people come out, and they're getting involved in security.
Right, yeah. And not only the security here, but the security abroad, too. There are some very, very high-paying positions. That are out of country, but are, in fact, security positions as well.
As a street officer yourself, when you were interacting with private security and you were called out to a scene, really just kind of off the cuff, what was the the main advice or issues that you have? Because sometimes they can be overbearing or over aggressive or want to take charge, and other times they didn't do enough. What's your advice in those situations?
Well, you know, the most of the situations I had, they were not negative. They were not negative situations. You know, there were some that you know, these that were not handled properly, and they kind of created a bigger situation than should have been because of, you know, some people.
Right.
You give them a little bit of power and they lose
right.
their minds. So
yeah.
That happened occasionally, you know, that happens with police officers occasionally as well. So, you know, it's really about an individual's personality and the way that they handle, you know, the position that they've been given. So I would have to say that the vast majority of interactions that I've had as a working cop were positive.
Well, I wish I had a few more officers that would say that, but that's good to know. A lot of times, because they don't have that level of training as a police officer, they don't. Sometimes it's communication skills, sometimes it's de-escalation that they're not familiar with, and you're right, they tend to sometimes overreact and escalate the situation, which can really become dangerous for them and the responding law enforcement officer.
True. That's very true. And then, you know, there's also the personality issues of the police sometimes looking down upon
right.
the lowly security officer, and that's another issue that I have seen. In fact, I remember having a counseling session with two of my officers. Because they were basically demeaning this security guy who was just trying to do his job. And so, you know, we had to have a little kind of discussion about respect and you know, these things happen as well. And this is about personalities and training and just basically treating people, everyone, with dignity and respect, which is what all should deserve to be.
Right. I think one of the problems really is when law enforcement interacts with security, whether they're called or they come upon a situation involving security. Unlike with law enforcement, you know, whichever agency you're working with, they're pretty much on the same level. They're all post-accredited. They've all gone through, you know, similar training. But with security, you really don't know who you're dealing with. So I always have dealt with people on a one-on-one basis. I don't take them as a group. I don't look at them as they're just any one particular profession. Each individual, depending on how they come across to me, their professionalism, the way that they speak, the way that they handle themselves, that's how I have to judge that person. Not, you know, there's no particular patch that recognizes how much training they've had. There's no way of knowing really if they're prior law enforcement, military, what their credentials are. What they do and what they don't do lets me know. It speaks to me, and that's how officers really need to interact with, you know, between security and law enforcement, in my opinion.
No, I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. That's you know, that's really the way that we should be interacting with all people is, you know, lose the attitude and treat people with dignity and respect until they prove otherwise. And there's plenty of people that will do that, and so you adjust accordingly.
And you said the key words, until they prove otherwise. And people are going to prove themselves one way or the other. You know, if they're not professional, same thing with bad guys. When you're dealing with bad guys, they're going to tell on themselves sooner or later, either by what they do, their body language, their speaking, they're nervous. You know, there's a lot of different signs you look for. So that's how I treat people. I trust them until I otherwise know not to.
There's one thing that I don't trust. I don't trust anybody until they
prove
otherwise to me.
As a cop, no. I mean, I understand that. But in dealing with, you know, semi-professionals or other professionals, people that I'm dealing with. You know, the old phrase, in God we trust, I'll always run NCIC. But
yeah, right.
Hey, I appreciate you being on the show. We really need to work together between private and public. There's a lot of crime in the last few years has really risen again, depending on whose numbers you're reading. Major crime is up, property crime's up, and it's going to take everybody to keep us safe. And there's a lot more private security, and you know they're probably going to be on scene a whole lot sooner than law enforcement in many cases. And hopefully we can all work professionally together. We have begun a network of law enforcement and security in the D.C. metro area where there's thousands and tens of thousands of security. And we're beginning to have workshops and hopefully regular meetings, and maybe we'll be able to do that across the country.
That would be very, very beneficial to everybody.
Well, I know you're a busy guy, and I won't keep you. If there's something else you want to tell us or give us your website, sell a couple of books or whatever, we'll be happy to let you do that.
Well, if people want to follow my writing and blogging, check me out on Facebook at Randy Sutton Public Figure, and the website that that I am the national spokesman for is BlueLivesMatter.blue. BlueLivesMatter.blue. We are a grassroots law enforcement support organization of more than 1 million people now.
1 million. Wow. I might have to join today. Then you'll have 1 million one.
There you go. Come on down.
That is a whole other subject that we can talk about. I have a lot of opinion and information on what's been going on the last couple of years. I know you're busy, so I won't go into that because that's an all-day conversation there.
Well, anytime you want to have that conversation, that's what I'm here for.
Well, we might get you back on the show in the next few weeks then, because we're definitely seeing that with security as well. Real quick, you know, one of the problems with that movement is them taking over public space, shopping malls,
right.
Streets, businesses, shutting down businesses. And to me, that's exactly what terrorism does. I mean, they're no different than terrorists, because that's their whole motive, is to disrupt, to cause panic, chaos. And, you know, I might get some hate mail for saying that, but that's their whole point right there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. About a month ago or so, Black Lives Matter tried to do a protest at a casino, and because it was private property, they had a lot more flexibility than the police did, and pretty much ended the protest even before it began.
Exactly, the private property has a lot more. They can execute their authority over that domain, over that property. But the problem, like at shopping malls and other spaces where these events occur, they're afraid of losing customers over it, even though they're having to shut down the mall for 3 hours during this
protest. Yeah, exactly.
And they're losing business, but they're still afraid to take that step to really forcefully remove them or arrest them, because they may lose a couple of customers down the road. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
But, hey, Randy, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. We'll stay in touch on social media, and you know, hope to talk to you soon.
My pleasure, Rick. Thanks for having me.
God bless. Stay safe.
All right. It was great to have Randy Sutton, a former law enforcement officer in Las Vegas, retired law enforcement lieutenant from the Las Vegas Metro PD, with us. And we'll certainly be hearing from him again soon. Hopefully, we do anticipate having him back on the program as we talk about Black Lives Matter, the movement, the disturbance, the issues facing our society today. So, again, I really appreciate him taking the time out of his busy schedule to be with us on the Private Officer Beat. We want to talk for a few moments coming up here after the next public safety announcement about how we can interact better with law enforcement, and it's important that we do that.
salt.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Welcome to this extended edition of the Private Officer Beat this Thursday morning, the first day of September, as we are keeping close tabs, close eyes on all of our coastal areas, the Gulf, the Atlantic, and the Pacific this morning, as a number of major storms are heading into those areas. We're under hurricane warnings for Hawaii, hurricane warnings now in existence for Florida and parts of Alabama. We're also looking for right now at several tropical storm warnings on the Atlantic coast. We've just got word in over the last 5 minutes that the storm right now in the Gulf is kind of stalling a little bit. That's never a good sign and never a good indicator, because when a storm does stall, what that does is it whips up a lot of moisture, a lot of that water from the Gulf, and really is going to saturate that area with a lot of flooding. Also, it really begins to eat up that energy from the warm waters, and it really could potentially intensify very quickly. So we are monitoring that. You are listening to an extended edition of the Private Officer Beat, and during the next 72 hours, we will be updating the storm warnings for the Pacific Gulf Coast and the Atlantic Coast. And stay right here with us on the Private Officer Beat. Follow us on social media at Facebook, privateofficer.com, and our Twitter page for updates throughout the next 72 hours. We'll also be broadcasting here on the radio program several times during the weekend to keep you informed and updated. Please, I know that it is the Labor Day weekend. I know that we're looking forward to time off, but please, really, if you're in any of these areas, be aware, stay close to a weather radio, listen to your local news, and stay on top of the changes in the weather. We want to go into talking about fostering really good relationships with law enforcement, and there are 10 things that you can do, 10 things that you can do to help that happen. First of all, you really need to know your beat cop. You need to understand who they are. Oftentimes, there will be a beat officer who works your particular area. If you're always assigned to a particular shopping mall, a particular apartment complex, a bank, make sure you know who's patrolling your area. Make it a point for you to introduce yourself. Tell them a little bit about yourself. Let them know that you're there, because if they become familiar with you, now it's not just a 911 call. Now it's not just a phone call, but now they have a face. They know the person, and they're more apt to respond, maybe a little bit quicker, maybe with the more confidence that they've got a professional already on scene. There are events throughout the country called Coffee with a Cop. I know that my friend Mike Thornhill in Nashville, Tennessee, often attends those. A number of our other Lifetime members also participate on a regular basis with those events in their area. If they don't have one in your area, start one. Contact the local police department, talk with a public information officer or the community service relation officer, and start coffee with a cop. Get to know who is working in the area. Get to know the officers on the department. You have to, you know, sometimes it's just up to us to take the first step. So you have to take the first step. The first thing that I always tell people is to inform the local police department, the local precinct, who we are. You know, sometimes they just got, you know, like Randy said a few moments ago, sometimes they have bad impressions of security. Sometimes they, you know, they have ideology. Maybe it's something that they've heard or seen. So we have to kind of inform them that we are not that guard of 30 years ago or that person from that mall cop TV show or a mall cop movie. We have to identify ourselves and let them know we are former law enforcement. We are former military. We have XYZ training. The more professional that you can become, the more credentials that you have, the more that they will identify with you. They will see you as a true professional. I know from my own experience that if you act like a professional, if you train like a professional, if you identify as a professional and, you know, come across as a professional, you'll be treated as a professional. It's all up to you to make that happen. Having gone out to Las Vegas many times, I have interacted with private security out there at the casinos, at the hotels, and at the venues where conventions are held. And I can tell you, they are internal, for all intents and purposes, law enforcement agencies. They handle everything internally. They don't call Las Vegas Metro Police unless they do have a suspect in custody or it's a major felony. They do handle it very professionally as their own agency or department. We are the eyes and ears of law enforcement. It's very important that we interact with them, keep them abreast of what's happening. Will everyone appreciate that? No. Will every officer just bow down to you and say, "Oh, thank you, thank you"? No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You know, if you're waiting for that to happen, forget it. It's not going to happen. However, it is our responsibility to stay on top of our beat, on top of our community. Wherever it is that we're assigned, we should be the ones who know what's happening. We shouldn't be aware of if somebody's selling drugs, if somebody is committing crimes. If, you know, I even had back in the old days when they had what was called hot sheets of stolen cars, I had hot sheets. I had bulletins of wanted persons. I kept my eyes and ears open, and trust me, it paid off more times than not. You have to alert law enforcement, communicate with them, and they will, most of the time, respect that and respond appropriately. It's important that when we have to call law enforcement to the scene, when we have to have them come out, that we first inform them of what's happening, give them all of the information possible, identify any suspects or victims, and cooperate with them. Sometimes they may, again, you know, depending on who the officer is, they may try to be superior, but you do have a right to be there. You have a right to witness. You have a right to report. You have a right to take notes. But always cooperate. If they say, "Please stand back a little bit, please, you know, stand over there," that's what you have to do. You're not a sworn law enforcement officer. You have to cooperate with them. But again, you can be there. It's all in how you respond to that officer. Now, there's been plenty of times when I've gone into a hot call with police while working security. I've gone into armed suspect calls. I've gone into domestic violence calls. I've gone into robbery calls and backed up the officer. As long as he is all for it, as long as he says, "Sure, let's do this," then you're good. But always take a secondary position. Let him be the person who speaks because he is the law enforcement officer in charge at that time. Even though you may have overall authority of the property, now it's a
criminal investigation or criminal offense, and he is in charge now that he's been called to the scene. Be part of the community. Be part of any community event. Oftentimes, communities have public safety events where law enforcement, police, EMS are there. You become part of it. Your company should become part of it. There's something nationwide called Nights Out with Law Enforcement. Be part of those events. A number of years ago when I had a security company that did a lot of housing authority properties, we sponsored events, community events. The more that you become part of your community along with law enforcement, not only the more professional it'll make you appear, but also it will make you part of that community. You will garner respect from the community, from the client, from law enforcement, and all who are aware of that situation. We have to build rapport through professionalism. We just have to. We have to be the first to take the first step. That's just how it goes most of the time. Now, I have told you before, in the many, many, many years I've been in private security and law enforcement, as a security person, both in loss prevention and uniform security, I almost never had a problem with law enforcement. There were a few incidents. You know, I had a time when I had a shoplifter for a felony theft in handcuffs, and the cop, you know, the only thing he wanted to concentrate on was, who told you you could handcuff this guy? Well, the law says I can detain and use reasonable force to handcuff, you know, to detain him. And so we're allowed, our company allows us to handcuff people for felonies and who are resisting. And but that was the only thing he wanted to talk about, not the fact that the guy stole $3,000 of merchandise, not the fact that the guy was resisting and non-compliant. He didn't care about that. He just cared about whether, you know, who gave us the authority to handcuff the suspect. But we have to be the bigger guy. We have to be the bigger man in most of these situations. So it's up to us to build good rapport through professionalism. And you do that through training. You do that through education. You do that through the way that you speak, the way that you dress, the way that you act. We say this over and over and over and over and over again. You know, it's all about appearance. It's all about communication. It's all about how you walk, how you handle yourself, what you do, when you do it. That's all part of professionalism. In trying to have good relationships with local law enforcement, whether it be the local police or sheriff's department, or in some cases, it's even the state police. There's been a many, many times when we've had contracts on housing authority properties where we actually worked with the FBI. We worked with the DEA a number of times. It's through that professional relationship, that professional cooperation, that we can really, together, law enforcement and security, can really make a difference in combating the increasing crime. We had great success. We prosecuted a number of cases as a security person through federal court, and that's just because we had built up good relationships with local law enforcement and with the local office of the FBI, the DEA. We've even worked with the ATF and other federal agencies. There was a number of years ago when I had a chance to work with the NCIS, long before it was a TV program. I'm talking about the real NCIS, you know, before most people even realized who NCIS was. We had a location that was right there in the area where the Navy was based and the Coast Guard, and they, the NCIS is the ones who handle those investigations, overseeing the Navy and the Coast Guard. So we really did have good cooperation between federal agencies. It's very important that we, as the professional, as the security professional, begin to foster the relationship through taking the first steps, through the introduction, getting to know our beat officers, maybe even going into the local precinct. Again, something I always used to do was I would go into the local precinct. I'd set up a meeting with the precinct commander, introduce myself, tell him a little bit about my background and about the company, and about what our contract said we can do, what we our duties were, and what his officers could expect from us. I let them know up front that all of our personnel were former law enforcement, military, and the level and degree of training that we had, not only through our former employment, but through our current employer, which was my company. I let them know about the standard of training, the standard of conduct, our type of training that we did routinely. And so they were very, very familiar with us, with our personnel, with our capabilities, with our qualifications. I know that a lot of times, security personnel tell me that, the cops here, they don't care. They're not listening. Maybe it's just your area, but law enforcement and security around the country are working together better. I can give you story after story, newspaper after newspaper, news article after news article that indicate all of the times that law enforcement and security have worked together to capture everything from robbery suspects to murderers to organized retail criminals. It's all up to us to begin that relationship, to foster it, to sometimes we really have to caress it. Sometimes we really have to, just kind of continue, even though we may get pushback, even though we may get, departments or officers who aren't interested. I've had, without identifying the department, I've had some interaction with our members in Virginia, in a certain area of Virginia, and the police department just do not want to work with private security. That, so be it. You be the professional. You be the bigger guy. Continue to call them when necessary. Continue to be the bigger guy and not let it affect how you do your job, not let it affect your attitude, and just build that relationship. Eventually, believe it or not, eventually police chiefs change. You might get a new police chief or a new sheriff who believes in private security. Officers who work that beat change. They may go to another shift, another precinct, another patrol zone. You don't have to deal with the same person all of the time, but you have to continue that professional rapport with the agency. It's also very important to understand when and when not to call law enforcement. A lot of times police do not like private security because they're always calling. I've been involved in situations where a certain hotel security officer would call every time somebody parked in a handicap or a fire zone. Those people are only there for a few moments. By the time the responding officer came, in most cases, they were gone, waste of his time. And in some of the cases, they were called, the person who was in the handicap space actually had a handicap placard, either as part of their license plate or hanging from the mirror, and the security officer just didn't recognize it, didn't see it, or didn't take time to see it. Make sure when you call police, you identify the problem, identify yourself, and give them as much information as possible. Do it in a professional manner. You should call the police anytime there's a crime in progress, anytime a complainant asks you to call police, or when you have a situation that you can't handle. If you have a person detained, you want to call police. You want to let them know what the crime is, why you have them detained, and whether or not they're resisting. Be, completely as informative as possible. You want to give them the who, what, where, when, and how, but you don't want to give them a big book. Be concise, communicate that information as quickly as possible. There's always going to be officer issues. As Randy said a few moments ago, he had to take a couple of officers aside himself and talk to them about their attitude with private security in a situation where they responded to. You're always going to have that. It doesn't matter their area, the city, the state, the jurisdiction. There will be that officer or officers, especially now with the younger officers coming on. Some of those, are okay.
and others have an attitude. Some of the older officers have an attitude. They just never have liked security. They see security as the old watchman of the 1960s. They don't see them as the professional of 2016, 2017, and beyond. They only see what they believe in their head, and you're always going to have that. There's a couple of ways to resolve that. You can resolve it by trying to talk with them. If that doesn't work, you can talk to their command staff. You can go down to the precinct or to the station, talk with the police command staff or the sheriff. Let your client know what's happening, and definitely your employer, if you're a contract security officer. You are looking for resolution. You're not looking to get anybody in trouble. You're not looking to start any mess, but you are trying to resolve a definite problem, because especially if you're on a property that you need police there frequently, like a housing complex, a retail complex, you're going to be interacting with law enforcement on a regular basis. You need to set the tone. You need to set, you know, the foundation right now that this is an issue. I don't want it to be an issue. Let's work this out. Like any other relationship, you have to communicate and you have to find resolution for whatever problems that you are having. I'm not saying that it's always going to work, but you have to attempt. You got to, even when officers respond, and I'll tell you from a cop side of it, there are police officers who do not like each other. There are police agencies who do not like each other, but they work together on a call. They may leave that call and go, oh, what a jerk. Oh, yeah, what a butthole, whatever. But on the call, they work as professionally as possible together to get to the resolution of the case. You have to do the same. It's important today that we depend on and work with law enforcement, whatever jurisdiction that you're in. There is a lot of increase in responsibility, a lot of increase in authority of private security, and really, honestly, some law enforcement they're not happy with that. They think that they should be the you know, end all be all in that community. And there may be times when you can't work around that. But again, you have to take the first step. You have to be the bigger guy. Fostering relationships with law enforcement, very, very important. Again, communicating with them, letting them know who you are, being professional, acting professional, talking responsible, talking professionally, and just I think that as we continue growing in the security field, as we continue to expand our authority and duties, and as law enforcement continues to shrink, there's definitely going to be a much greater cooperative spirit. And as Lieutenant Randy Sutton just said, in Las Vegas, they already have it. If it wasn't for all of the security in Las Vegas and many other places who actually handle most situations, they would have to hire another 1,000 cops, which would be impossible. They just don't have the budget for it. And you see that already in the big cities, Miami, LA, you know, Denver. Security really does handle most of the incidents on their property. So keep your chin up, keep your head up. Trust me, relationships between law enforcement and security are getting better. We do see that across the country, and it's up to us to make sure that it works in our area. That is going to do it for this edition of the Private Officer Beat. Now, again, before going off the air, I do want to remind you, if you are in the Atlantic Coast region, the Gulf Coast, or any place in the Hawaii Pacific area, make sure that throughout the next 72 hours, you are on top of the weather. I have seen too many times people ignore the weather and say, you know, it's not going to happen to us. It's not going to happen here. Same old story over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, it hits them. Just a couple of years ago when we had the tropical storm, it was a hurricane. It went down to a tropical storm, but it moved its way up the Atlantic coast well beyond where they thought it would. And New York City was flooded.
A lot of damage was done just by a tropical storm. Again, last year, parts of the Gulf Coast, they were under a tropical storm warning. It was not a hurricane threat. They, too, kind of brushed it off like, it's not going to really be a big deal. We're going to get a little rain, maybe some wind. And many, many areas there were also flooded. Louisiana is still flooded from some storms that hit them about 3 weeks ago. They are really, in some areas, still in a critical need situation because their area is still underwater in some parts of Louisiana. I can't imagine if, you know, what it would look like if any of these storms make their way further west and hit Louisiana again. That would just be a huge tragedy. Stay on top of the weather, folks. Please stay safe. Listen to your local news, weather, radio, and, of course, get the updates right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio, as well as through our social media and our news updates. If you have not signed up for the Private Officer news updates and alerts, you can go to our website at privateofficer.com. Sign up today. You will get them right there in your mailbox as soon as news is breaking. Thanks again for listening. Thank you, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, for being our guest today. God bless. Stay safe until we see you right back here on the radio. Thank you.